Lord, we just lift up this morning. Patricia, stay right there. Stay and bring the shofar. Go ahead and just blow that one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so there's a reason for that, because the blowing of that actually is the start of the Rosh Hashanah, which we're in. This is the last day of the Rosh Hashanah today. Then there's the 10 days, it's basically 10 days of what they call 10 days of awe. 10 days of awe where God is doing something in people's lives. I'll give you a little bit more about that in a minute. If you will turn with me to Psalm 139. Sometimes you just slip over from one realm to the next. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some things that I want to impart, but I have a word for you this morning, and it's just really, really simple. It's really simple, but the word is for everybody. But it's specifically for me because you've been doing it in me for a week. But I'm going to let y'all get in. You can get in. You can again jump in. Jump in. So the word is simply this: the restoration of innocence. The restoration of innocence. Because, see, that's going to mean a lot to you, but sometimes some of you already recognize a need for the restoration of innocence. But it's a moment, it's a time for reset. I didn't know about Rosh Hashanah, but guess what? Rosh Hashanah is a season for reset. It's a new year. If you've had enough of 2020, raise your hand. But it's a new year today. It's a new year starting today. It actually started on the 18th, and this Rosh Hashanah is a celebration of the new year, but it's a celebration of the reset. And I'm telling you right now, the reset is a reset of innocence. A reset of innocence, because see, there's so much that's happened in our world. There's so much that's happened in our world that is clouded and confused, and it caused people to shrink back instead of jumping forward. If you're a kingdom minded, you're to be jumping forward. You're to be moving forward. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We got a place going forward. We got a place that can take us into something new, into something that's a breakthrough. Because the kingdom of God is unlimited. The only part of this equation that's limited is us. And so if we'll deal with the things that cause the limits, it causes us to step into the unlimited. And that's what he's wanting to do today. We were talking about perambulating a little bit ago. Thank you, Pastor Anna. Amen. And out of verse 139 of Psalm 139, we'll go from 15. Psalm 139, verse 15. It's, my frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. In other words, before you were ever born, before you were ever physically formed, he was already a mindful of you. The eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written. The days that were ordained for me, when there was yet not one of them. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. See, this is speaking, and this is David. This is David here, and he's speaking. But one of the things that he's recognizing is that they have a concept of a book being written for our life. We have a concept of a book being written for our life. Ours is maybe a little bit different, because their concept was on Rosh Hashanah. The reason for the 10 days of awe in Rosh Hashanah was that God had already written a book for your coming year, but you could get a better pronouncement if you started to repent and get it right for those last 10 days, or those first 10 days before the actual Day of Atonement, which is next weekend. So in other words, you could actually prepare for your next year. You could plant fruit by dealing with yourself. Hello? Plant fruit by forgiving. Plant fruit by recognizing what's in you that shouldn't be in you. Plant fruit by recognizing where you hurt somebody or did something, but it needs to be resolved. And just begin to plant fruit for your coming year. And so that's what Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of awe are actually about. But what I also want to let you know is what I'm talking about here, when the restoration of innocence is not about the big sins, but it's about those little things that have stolen, the foxes that have stolen the vine, the little foxes that have come and stolen. Taking your excitement, taking your passion, taking your fire, because see, anything that comes between us and that first love that comes from us and that first love with the Father is taking our fire. And we got to take our fire back. We got to take it back and recognize that this is what God has already put in me. But see, He does that. He gives us a process. We've been looking and learning about going into His presence and allowing His presence to change us. This is how you restore the fire. But sometimes in order to get there, you have to deal with something that might be in the way. You know, if your first love got tapped into and got tapped out, now you have to allow God to speak into that area. Because He wants to, and He will, and He'll bring forth a fire with you. It's all a matter of whether or not you'll let Him do it. He will do anything for you that you allow Him to. Hallelujah. So the book was written to tell you what's coming up. But see, we also have books that have been written where He wants to share with you His heart for you. Last Tuesday, we were doing that. Last Tuesday, LaRue went into a little different place. And he began to just speak out and allow us to go wherever the Lord would have us to go. And to be revealing what was in the books that were written. And part of that process is just to take a moment and acknowledge what the Lord has already done for you and what He's already said about you. He's been telling us to look into your heart and recognize what the Lord has said about you. I'm going to give you just a moment or two. Drew likes to put everybody on the spot. I'm sure just so he can look at your faces. And say, what has the Lord said about you? What has He said? Who has He said you are? Will He give you the mic? Give them the mic. Yeah, what has He said about you? Yes, how He loves me. Absolutely. Everybody in here can say that. What has He said about you? Who does He call you? Okay. See, there's some things, it's some things that you know because He said it to you so many times before anyone ever said it to you. He way back in 2004, He called me a pastor of pastors before any of that's ever started in my life. Before I was even a pastor, He was already speaking it into my life. Why? So I know this is about me. When other people came and started to confirm it, then it became more real in some sort of sense. But at the same time, it was already real in here. I didn't need somebody to confirm it. I was glad when it came because it meant we were drawing closer. See, God has placed something in your heart. One of the things that I wanted to do, and Chris, if you'll... I wanted to begin to speak some of the things that he... was showing me about this church last Tuesday. So, Chris, if you'll play that little background, I was going to try doing the keyboard, but I'm thinking that I just need to do this first instead. I want you to just close your eyes. Allow your Father to love on you. Allow Him to draw near to you. And we're going to walk with Him. Because as we were here in this place on Tuesday, I began to acknowledge what He has said to me. And I began to acknowledge what He has planned for this house. And I began to open my heart to see the revival through His eyes. And I began to just perambulate over this space. And as I did so, I began to realize that there was just an atmosphere of faith surrounding me. An atmosphere of faith that was undeniable. An atmosphere where confidence begins to awaken in each and every heart. An atmosphere where hope begins to just explode on the inside. A hope that had not been seen for a long time. A hope that was being unveiled. And it began to touch everything in the room. And as it touched everything in the room, now all of a sudden things started to shift in the room. Spontaneous praise arose. And as I noticed it, I began to sense, interestingly enough, a liberality of generosity arise. A liberality of generosity that was springing forth because of the goodness and the grace of God that was shedding and being shown upon us, that was rising up within us, and favor that was bursting forth. And as that favor was bursting forth, there was a place where the witty inventions and the creative ideas were just flowing everywhere, and that all of a sudden promotions and positions were opening up, and people were being shifted, their whole life and direction was being shifted simply because they came into in contact with this atmosphere. And out of that liberality rose up, and it began to change such to the degree that we actually had to have staff members whose only job was to take the money in and begin to find out where it was going to be most useful for the kingdom. And as these things began to swell up and just to rise up in me and around me, there was a place where He just began to show me the things that He had spoken to my heart. Limbs growing out. The first one was an arm. The person's arm had been severed at the elbow. And all of a sudden, there was a hand where there had been no hand. And then there was an eye where there had been no eye. And a foot where there had been no foot. And these miracles just began to show up and to show out and to be released just spontaneously at times and otherwise through the minister, whoever was ministering in the moment. Because see, it wasn't just one minister up here. It was a collection of people who were gathered together to worship their God, to honor their God, and to represent. And as they represented, then these things would flow in them. And there were words coming forth, words that shifted time, the words that shifted space, words that shifted hearts and lives. These words, and it was possible for somebody to stand there. It was possible I could see myself standing there, and I could be in front of whoever I was, and I could be in their past, in their present, or in their future, and to speak to them what was that God had on His mind. And then there were times and moments where deliverance people came in and they were in need of deliverance, and deliverance just was happening in a single word. It wasn't some intense struggle. It wasn't some hours and hours of prayer. It was just a single word, and they were whole and healed. And as they were whole and healed, then there were people that came in who had AIDS, and the disease dropped out of their body before they even got to the front. And their hearts were healed, their spirits were healed, and they were brought to restoration and wholeness, salvation. And I began to see the addicts coming and throwing their stuff on the altar. Throwing their stuff on the altar because their heart was turned back to God. And over in the corner there was a pile of wheelchairs and crutches and other paraphernalia that had been released off the bodies of those who had been set free and healed. Probably the ones that were, because see, as people were here, there was a spontaneous praise would break out in this place. There was spontaneous praise that would just happen. No one was even ministering. There was all of a sudden just a rising up in the hearts of the people, a love and a fervor for their God, and they just expressed it freely. But one of the most intense things was that there were atheists who were coming in. They were coming in to mock us and to shame us. And they would come and they would get about halfway up an aisle, and I had have to fall flat on their face and just cry out, I never knew, because they encountered the love of the Father. They encountered a love they did not expect and love that they did not anticipate. And I saw the media coming. And as the media was coming, they came to mock and to be a distraction. But instead, they found their place of salvation. They found their place of healing. They found restoration. And as they found that those things, then what they had to go back and report was very different than what they had intended to when they came in. They became our greatest champion in spite of themselves. And in this place, faith created such a place that no more burdens, no more shames, no more wrongs, because all the fruit of those things had been pulled out of our lives. All the fruit of those things had been removed. See, lots of times when we speak about revival, it's a generic term. But the renewing of innocence means that we get the chance, the opportunity to no longer try to do it like it was done before. The current thing that God is doing, it's going to be a restoration to the Father. It's going to be a restoration and a coming in and knowing of Him, and a coming in and of expressing of Him, and a coming in of representing Him. But as this happens, it's not going to look like Azusa. It's not going to look like Brownsville. It's going to look like Father's house. It's going to look like the Father's house. It's going to be a move of Father and a move of Fathering, such that none of the other revivals had, so that there will be an ongoing revelation happening out of here. Stepping in. Each gift being pulled out, each gift being recognized, each gift being brought into a proper place and a proper time, a proper perspective. and all yielding to the Father. See, this is what I began to see on Tuesday. I think to me, the greatest shift was the one where I saw the atheist. And I could tell he was only an atheist because his heart was so hurt. But when his heart was touched, love flowed. That's what he's looking to do. Hallelujah. Chris, you can bring that down for now. Hallelujah. The reason for all that is because I'm in the process of allowing God to renew the innocence. 2 weeks ago, I spoke to you about how I found some notes from, I went back and looked at them, and I didn't have to find them. They were always been there. I wrote them down, and they've been there sitting on the shelf. But I went back and read them, and I recognized the love that poured forth through those notes. And I recognized somewhere along the way, I lost focus on that. I lost focus on what that really is, that first love, that so that it just possesses all of your character and all of your intention and all of your attention. Sometimes, I mean, in some ways, I could blame it on being in the ministry and all the things that happen. There's a certain amount of things that happen when you're just constantly bombarded with burdens and needs. But see, that's an excuse. It's an excuse. Because your first job in every situation, your first and only ministry in every situation, if you can only have one, is to minister to the Father. If you're ministering to Him, then everything else is an outflow of that happening within your life. But if you're not ministering to Him, and if you're not keeping that first thing and the main thing, then all of a sudden, all these other things become burdens on you that they're not supposed to be. That's the little foxes that steal the vine. God's not looking to deposit those things. One of the things He actually said in those notes was that I'm giving you these things, I'm putting these responsibilities in your life, but they're never to ever take the place of Me. And as he said that, He said, you know, if you feel those things becoming a burden, then all I need for you to do is present it to Me. Just present it to Me. We know Matthew 11 and 28 and 31 tells us that, you know, those who are weary and heavily burdened to come to Him, for His burden is light. We bring it back to Him. We serve a God who's interested in each and every one of us. We serve a God who's interested in bringing restoration, wholeness, pureness in each and every one of us. A purity that comes because we're choosing Him first. Enough of 2020. Time for a reset. Time for a reset. See, there are books that are written of us.
Those books are to cause us to bring represent him the way that he's supposed to be represented. Those books, when they're exposed to us, they're to cause us to begin to recognize what he's put in within us. Hallelujah. Verse 23 says, "Search my heart, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. Lead me into the everlasting love." I'm so lost up here, I'm sorry. Lead me into the everlasting love. When we expose our heart, you know what keeps fear operating in your life? Because it's hidden. When it's no longer hidden, it no longer has a place for you. So when we bring it out into the light and we expose it, then it rips it off. It takes all its power and authority away because it got exposed. In the same way here, what we're doing is allowing the Lord to just bring his exposure to his light to our heart. All of us have been subject to pollution. In the natural, but also in the spirit. Religion has wanted to teach us certain things. But religion never teaches you the whole impact of the spirit. Religion might teach you about a law, but it never teaches you the purpose of the law. It never reveals the heart of God behind the law. And what the Lord wants you to know is the heart of God. Because if you'll know the heart of God, you'll never be misjudged again. You'll never misjudge another situation. Because you'll always be able to refer it back to, does this match the character that I know is in him? And so when he comes and he starts revealing himself like this, then he starts revealing the necessity of having innocence restored, then we can understand he's only doing these things so that we can connect with him in a brand new way. Time to refine and correct the image of self. Anything that was born outside the image, the character, or the presence of the Father. So many of the reflections that we learn about ourselves came from our childhood or our circumstance, but it didn't come from your Father. And when it comes from your Father, it's going to have a whole different character to it. It's going to have a whole different impact from it. It's going to have something that brings forth wholeness, wellness, and restoration. Hallelujah. You know, ever since the fall, we've been subject to the forces of good and evil. Because we decided, as man decided, that they wanted to know how to judge good and evil. So now what the enemy does is make sure that you're bombarded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with more information than you can possibly process. Because why? Because he wants to keep you under a constant flow of the evil. But when we step into the heart of God, suddenly we can start coming into an alignment, which is love, that which is peace. When you do that, now you're stepping outside of the enemy's territory. You're stepping out of the things that he can affect, and you're coming into a place where the only thing that's affecting you is what God is doing in you. Golly, I had all this scriptures. Romans 13 and 12. since we cast off the works of darkness and walk in the light, put on the light of, put on the armor of light. When we're casting off the works of darkness that it is specifically talking about there is sexual things, but at the same time, it actually applies to every work of darkness, because every work of darkness is having some kind of fruit in you if it's not seen and exposed to the light. As we cast these things off, casting off the works of darkness and allowing the light to come forth. Allowing light in, that's always going to bring the Father's attention as you release it like that. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a sexual thing. It can be in anything. But that work of darkness, when we begin to recognize it and recognize that it has fruit in our heart, and we begin to break agreement and break soul ties with it, whatever that is. Break those soul ties, whatever those things are. And as we do so, then there's a fruit that comes forth, a fruit of freedom. Because, see, the faith, place of faith will also bring freedom. It will bring wholeness. It will bring wellness. It will bring oneness with Him. Much of religion is spoken and been released from so many pulpits around America. That's why America looks like she does right now. Because if the pulpits of America were speaking and releasing truth, there's no place for prejudice in this world. There's no place for those things. Because why? Because God is releasing His heart through every believer. Hallelujah. It's about releasing the trauma of the drama. Those effects the enemy has created in your heart and in your life. Not because of any one big thing, not because of big sins, although if you have those things, please deal with them. Okay? Don't make me deal with them. And sometimes I will if I have to. But it's better if you do it. Okay? I really don't want to have to come to you and tell you. But if God says to do it, I'll do it. But if you'll... But it's really the little things that we allow to stack up. The effects of things that were not dealt with, the effects of things that have not been released, the effect of things that have not been shared or given over to the Lord. When we stand in a place of unforgiveness, that cuts us off from some portion of the Father. If we allow, and one of the things that I've been doing for the last 2 or 3 weeks is just the effects of hearing everybody's stuff in Sozo for so long. You know, you can't unring the bell. Once you hear it, you can't unhear it. And there's nothing wrong with it in a Sozo situation. You have to go through those things. But as a Sozo minister, you have to continually give it over and give it up to Him. Because otherwise, it compounds itself on you over a period of time. So you got to let the trauma of the drama go away. Quit wearing it. Recognize it and quit wearing it. Recognize it and shift it back to the one who said He's the burden bearer. There's one who came to take it. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. See, Psalm 19, verse 7. I'll flip over there for just a moment. I'll give you a couple of scriptures to work with. I'll spare you guys, but we used to sing this psalm. Sing it. But it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect. That word perfect means whole, means complete, but also means innocent. The law of the Lord is innocent, restoring the soul. When we begin to seek Him out and to seek out His place in us and His and allow Him His place in us, then there's a restoration of our innocence that happens. There's a restoration that is released into your soul. Because why? Because His law and His heart comes through these things into you, and it comes from a heavenly place, and it can only have a heavenly effect. It's going to have a heavenly effect. The law is released into your heart. Because His intention, when we understand His intention, the intention behind everything that He does is to bring you up to speed. His intention is to bring you into the fullness, and to bring you into the completeness, to bring you into everything that you have need of. Physically, mentally, financially, emotionally. Whatever it is, whatever area, bring the brokenness to Him. Allow Him to bring a reset, restoration of innocence in that area. It's going to mean a little bit different things for each and every person. But Romans 8 and 2 says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. Adam sinned, death came in. But Jesus paid a price, and life came in, and life restores. So the more we get with Him, the more life is restored. The more we begin to recognize and allow Him to interface with us, then life is restored the way that He intended it to be. Restoration of innocence. You know, one of the things is that when you minister, one of the things that can happen is that you get jaded, get cynical. Because cynical just means that you have an expectation of the worst of persons instead of the best of persons. But you don't have to be that way. Because I recognize that I had used the word cynical a few times, but I recognized that when I understood the definition of it, that wasn't me, because regardless of whatever else has happened, I still always see the best in people. It's possible when you continue this giving it over. It's possible. Because why? It's his desire for each and every one of us to form us into a place, mold us into an image that looks like Him. And He's not challenged by who we are. He's not challenged by what we've not done or what we should have done. He's not challenged by those things. He just continues to give us love, T. He just continues to show the love. Hallelujah. So now it's about taking off all the corruption, whatever that might be in your life. If it's sin, then do that, of course. But I'm really talking about just the little things. Those things alter the course of your life. looking and saying, Lord, this is the week, this is what the Rosh Hashanah, this week is supposed to be about introspection and repentance, so that when you come before the Lord on the following Sunday, that there's a place of atonement of where you've already dealt with the things from here to here among yourself and those around you. And you've dealt with those things. And now when you come to the Father and in the place of atonement, then you're dealing with here to here and it's all clear. His atonement is sufficient. It's sufficient. Restoration. Restoration of innocence. Restoration of innocence to the ideas, the images, and the emotions. Some ideas that we have don't actually stack up to biblical truth. When that's happening, we need to receive what His truth is. Our emotions don't always stack up. But I'll tell you what, your emotions rarely stack up to spiritual truth. Your emotions will get tied and they'll move one way or another very quickly based on a circumstance, based on what you can see with your ocular evidence, but not based on what God said. Hallelujah. So we're going to allow Him to take off those things this week. I almost want to finish this up with just this simple thing. If you go with me to Psalm 23. Know that there are books written about your life. What do you want them to say? What do you want them to look like? Do you want them to be out on display? I want mine to be on display. You can call it prideful if you want, but I want mine to be on display. I'm hoping you want yours on display. Because there's no reason, there's no space in me anymore for things that can't be on display. Amen? Psalm 23. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. It's an assurance and it's a promise. A heavenly God who loves you. A heavenly God who desires to have a relationship with you. We've got a pathway here that we've proven that will get you into the Him. But as you perambulate with Him and as you allow Him to perambulate and as you allow Him to show you, let Him show you what He's already said about you. Begin to see this body for what He's calling us into. Come in the house with an expectation for what is going to happen, an expectation for God to intersect with you and to intervene with you if necessary. But He'll always meet you. But He's going to meet you wherever you are. When you wake up in the morning, He's there to meet you. When you lie down at night, He's there to meet you. No matter where you go, He's there to meet you. It's just up to us to surrender to the process. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.